Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Super Bowl week. For the 33rd straight year, Washington's football team is not a part of it. However, we're getting closer. Good morning, everybody. Denton is down in New Orleans. Chris is in this week. Denton will be getting us some guests from time to time from Radio Row this week. Let me just mention that on tomorrow's show, 11:45, Joe Gibbs will be with us. So whether you're listening live tomorrow at 11:45 or you listen to the podcast of the show or you go to the team980.com afterwards, Joe Gibbs tomorrow in the second hour of the show at 11:45 a.m. Really looking forward to that. It's been, I think I was looking through my notes, I think it's been two and a half years since I had Coach Joe on the show. So tomorrow, 11:45. Joe Gibbs. Today, Tim Legler will jump on with me in 20 minutes. We'll talk about the Luka Doncic trade. That was a bombshell over the weekend. One of the most shocking trades really ever in sports. Now, I'm not going to go as nuts as a lot of young people will go as it relates to this trade. I don't remember Wilt to the 76ers, but I'm familiar with it. I barely remember Kareem to the Lakers. I certainly remember Herschel Walker to the Vikings. I don't remember Babe Ruth, but I do remember Wayne Gretzky. These are some of the great and most surprising trades in sports history. There have been a lot of jaw-dropping trades, but really in the era of, you know, so much media, you know, social media, all the other media, and so many dedicated reporters to just one sport, this one really caught people off guard. Nobody apparently saw it coming. This in the trade from a media perspective is being described as the biggest shocker of all time. You know, and by the way, even if they saw it coming, the idea that Dallas was willing to trade one of the, you know, three or four or maybe five players in the league that seemed completely untradeable is astonishing. Legler will be with me in 20 minutes, and I'll have a few thoughts on the trade here coming up. Josh Harris, the owner of our football team, is holding a year-end press conference today at 11:30. We will carry that live here on the station. Really looking forward to hearing from the owner after an incredible season. I remember when the team was for sale, I put together a list of the top 10 things I wanted in a new owner. And on the list was, I want to hear from my owner before the season and never again until after the season, preferably as he's accepting the Lombardi Trophy. Check that box. Josh is not, you know, a media guy by any stretch of the imagination, and you don't want your owner to be that. Look, Dan was a recluse. I mean, one of the things, as much as we criticize Dan for being the worst owner in the history of North American sports, certainly in the last 25 years, and he's certainly at the top of the list of any debate about that, he was a recluse for the last 10 years of his ownership, certainly the last six or seven. He was angst-ridden over doing media, the opposite of, say, Ted, you know, who absolutely loves to share opinions and be front and center, whether it's on his NBA team's bench, etc. They were just completely opposite from that standpoint. Dan was not comfortable doing media and was, you know, a virtual recluse as an owner for the last 8, 9, 10 years of his ownership. Look, we got Josh before the season. We're getting him after the season. Other than that, you know what? Bottom line is, most fans care about and want to hear from the GM, the coaches, and the players, not the head of business operations. You know, we don't need tweets or football opinions from that side of the building. You know, don't need to even know who those people are. Now, we are going to, I would assume, get introduced to Mark Klaus, the new team president on the business side. And I would assume that we would hear from him after he starts. But if we don't, that's okay also. Although, obviously, with the name and the brand being a part of the conversation, we'll see whether or not that ends up being even a part of Josh Harris's presser today. I don't know. This from Nick. Nick writes, Kevin, is the owner about to tell us something about the name today? I have no idea, Nick. I have no idea. I wonder if we're going to hear maybe an update on the stadium because, you know, as we've discussed for a while now, that is, you know, a priority. That is above the other things on the list of priorities, trying to get a path cleared to coming back to D.C. And we don't know that that's done yet. We don't know if a deal's been negotiated. We certainly know that it's not been presented to the city council, which would need to vote 7-6 at the very least to get something done. Yeah, I'm wondering actually about why we haven't gotten any sort of update on the stadium. It may be just as simple as the logistics of transferring sort of that property, that piece of land to this city from the federal government, the Department of Interior. Maybe there is something where that just hasn't happened yet and they've got to wait for that. I don't know. It's also possible that they weren't about to tell us anything about the stadium during an NFC championship run. Why take, you know, any attention away from that? Maybe we'll hear something on the stadium today, but I have no idea what we'll hear. And on the name front, you know, look, I'll just say what I've been saying for a year and a half, regardless of what sort of got presented last week, I guess, on our radio station's social media. I want it to change. If I had to bet it, I'd lean in the direction that it will be, but I don't have any clue as to whether it will or won't. What I've been more confident about, and I've been talking about now for 7-8 months, is I do think that, you know, the chances of some things associated with the brand, like uniforms changing, that is, you know, definitely something that is in play. You know, more so than even the name, even though I've put odds out on it. You know, I had it at minus 150 when they took ownership of it. It's dipped as low as minus 125. But I'm still a slight lean on the name. We'll see. Did the deep run mean something? They have all of the data on this, clearly. We'll see. It is interesting how many people reached out to me last week to say, oh, my God. So it's done. I'm like, what are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. I did not present anything last week as the team is changing the name. Just to be clear on that. I hope it does, just like a lot of you do. I hope it goes to something. We know Redskins isn't a possibility. And I do still think that the stadium right now is the priority. Will we hear something from Josh Harris? Stay tuned. We will carry it at 11:30 a.m. this morning. So before we get to Legler coming up here in about 10, 12 minutes, I do want to just talk about the bombshell of the Luka Doncic trade from over the weekend. This is a seismic, you know, move. Like, you just don't trade one of, you know, arguably the three or four best players in the game at the age of 25 for somebody over the age of 30. Unless there's something there that we don't know. That was my first reaction, is what don't we know about Luka Doncic that the Mavericks do know? I'll ask Legler that. It certainly seems like this is something that doesn't make sense. It's so doesn't make sense that something's got to be there, right? Dallas knows something. Look, we do know this. He's never been in the best of shape. We do know that the Mavericks play a style with Luka because he is, along with James Harden, and there are a few others, the most ball-dominant player we've really almost ever seen in the league in terms of this guy has to have the ball in his hands to start every single possession of a game. It's a very stagnant way of playing offensive basketball, but he's one of the greatest scorers and one of the greatest playmakers we've ever seen. He averaged over 30 points in the postseason last year. It was one of the great individual scoring postseasons we have ever seen. Michael Jordan's the only other player who's averaged 30 or more in a postseason run. Luka is the other. But I sat here all during the postseason last year and just said, it's hard to watch, man. I mean, not for everybody. You know, this is a subjective thing. If you love watching one player essentially be ball dominant and get a high ball screen, if he gets anything, that wasn't even guaranteed. But to watch one player very often with three to four other players standing around and watching, standing around waiting for their defender to help, and then they get the ball, and then they can become a playmaker or a shooter. It's just painful to watch that style of basketball. For me, I said it throughout the postseason, and I was almost dead wrong because they got to the finals. I just don't think that you can win it all playing that way. And the reason I don't think you can win it all playing that way is that you just don't make a defense work hard enough over 48 minutes. And if a defense doesn't have to work that hard, if three players essentially don't have to move defensively and can rest, that just makes it harder for your team defensively to stop a refreshed offense on the other end. You know, one of the great teams offensively in terms of five-man basketball that we've ever seen were some of those Warriors teams. And their defensive numbers were always incredible. Well, one of the reasons their defensive numbers were incredible, it wasn't because Steph Curry was a great defender. It was because they made you work so hard defensively that you were out of gas. And by the way, then the pressure mounted on every offensive possession. Well, Dallas didn't make anybody work defensively. They don't. That's the way they play. The dude is one of the great shot makers, and by the way, one of the clutch shot makers of all time, and he's a great passer. Defensively, I actually have never thought, like some have, that he's a terrible defender. The problem is he interested in defending, number one? Number two, is he back to defend? Because the other part of Luka that's just been impossible to watch is that he's a serial whiner. He is so committed to complaining that you lose four, five, six possessions defensively where you are 5-on-4 with him still arguing on a non-foul call on the other end. By the way, how about him and LeBron together? There are going to be a lot of 5-on-3s the other way. The two of them just on the offensive end bitching and complaining about a call that they didn't get as the other team is dunking on the other end. I mean, you've got two of the most committed to complaining players on the same team in the history of sports. But Luka went beyond that. I always felt in watching him, and I have felt this for a while in watching him, it not only takes away from the team play, And by the way, from an acute standpoint, in the moment of not having enough players back defensively. But I always felt like it's got to take something out of his game to a certain degree. It's got to be exhausting to do what he does and be so committed to it every night. But I don't know that that's part of the reason why he was traded. I don't know if that's part of it. I'm going to ask Tim that, because when I certainly feel like there's something there that Dallas believes or knows that everybody else doesn't know. And then you get to the part of, okay, let's just say they had fallen out of love with Luka for whatever reason. You know, not a guy that's a conditioning guy, not a guy that's first in, last to leave. You know, for your superstar to be just a guy that kind of shows up and, by the way, plays at a very high level, it's hard to think about giving him a super max deal. Look, I think if I had Luka on my team, I'd certainly give him a super max deal. But, you know, beyond, let's just say that there was something there that Nico Harrison, the general manager in the organization, just didn't feel comfortable with when it came to the person. Maybe it was stylistically the basketball, even though they got to the finals last year. Don't you have to get more than what they got? I mean, don't you have to shop them? I mean, they gave up. They got back Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a 2029 first-round pick. Haven't we seen these deals just produce like 6-7 draft choices so you can build for the future? Another kind of young superstar player, not an Anthony Davis, who, by the way, is a great player. He's 31 years old. You know, he's about to turn 32 years old next month. And he's one of the best two-way players of the era. There's no doubt about it. When he doesn't have an ouchie, because this guy's soft, and he's been soft for a long time. I mean, how many times do we see Anthony Davis get nicked on the shoulder on a screen and he goes down and he's out for the next three games? He's got to be there for them. I'll tell you what, the idea of Anthony Davis and Gafford together defensively, Dallas is a threat, I think, you know, after this trade. But they were a threat before the trade, too, with a player who was 25, who was going to make you a threat year in and year out to win a lot more games than you lose and to be a team in the postseason that's got one of those guys, right? You can't win an NBA title. This is going back to the 2004 Pistons. Unless you have a debatable top five player in the game. Hasn't happened in this league since the 04 Pistons. Luka is a top five player in the league. So you were always going to have a chance. Now, Kyrie's not a top five player in the league. Anthony Davis is right now when he's out there and healthy. He is a debatable top five-ish kind of a talent. They actually have a chance to do something, and we'll talk to Legs about that. Like, I actually look at this and think, what if they were to win the title this year because they just defensively dominate people, you know, in the postseason, and Kyrie goes off somehow? Nico Harrison in the moment would look great. Now, what if Luka goes to the Lakers? Maybe not this year, because one of the things I'm interested in is how does it work where you've got two ball-dominant players? But we said that about Kyrie and Luka, and they made it work to a certain extent. Problem with the Lakers is they have no big. You know, they've got no size. Now, there are a couple of more days before the trade deadline, so they could still add to it. And look, one of the things, and I started down this path, is did the Mavericks get enough? No, they didn't get enough for Luka Doncic. That's like a no-brainer. So why didn't they get enough? Well, one of the reasons might be is that if everybody knew Luka was on the trade market and they made it clear to people, hey, we're looking to trade him. Well, what if you don't pull off the deal you want? How does that relationship work with your star player. So there's probably a lot behind the scenes that they considered, maybe. Like, we've got to go stealth. We've got to go with nobody knowing. We want one player. We want Anthony Davis. We're going to call the Lakers and see if they'd make this trade. And because you didn't have, you know, what would have been a lot of teams offering, and you could have really cashed in, you didn't get the deal that you probably should have gotten for Luka. And by the way, that means even in your building for the this year, like, look, Oklahoma City right now looks like the best team in the West. I haven't paid a lot of attention to the NBA this year, but, you know, I talked to Legler actually a lot off the air. Talked to him last week, had him on my podcast last week talking about Washington, Philadelphia, because that's really where his passion is. But, you know, he loves OKC. OKC is kind of running away with the West right now. But what if Dallas, you know, all they needed was another player for this run and could have been a legitimate threat? Well, they didn't get enough back from the Lakers to take advantage of that, whether it's this year or next. And the Lakers, by the way, are still left with a lot of dry powder to make another move or two. Shocking, shocking trade. That is 100% true. Luka's not my favorite player to watch. I can't stand, personally, watching a player bring the ball up the court and it never touches another player's hands offensively. Does it work? Well, of course it works. You know, a lot of NBA is played that way. We see it more at the lower levels too. You know, maybe you get one high ball screen to get the matchup you want. And that's really what it is. It's not even a pick and roll or a pick and pop anymore. It's just getting a ball screen, getting a switch to get Luka on the matchup that you want. And then he's a playmaker. And then he's going to shoot. He's going to create, and if the defense converges, he'll make the right pass. And by the way, he does. But it's not my favorite way of watching it, and I sat here during the postseason last year and just said, it's painful, but he's great. Like, this guy is one of the all-time great scorers, shot makers, playmakers we have ever seen, but can it hold up? Do you make the other team work enough to where over 48 minutes, it pays off? Well, it almost did for them, you know, but they couldn't beat a team like Boston that just had too much. And by the way, plays differently. There's a lot of ISO ball for the Celtics as well, but there were more players. Luka and Harden, really, in the last, you know, call it 10 years, they're the ones that you just have seen more possessions of one person touching the ball, nobody else touching the ball. They got to know something, though, right? Something had to be known about this from a Dallas standpoint. If not, it's going to go down, honestly, as potentially, it has the potential. Even, by the way, if they have some success with Anthony Davis, like, they have to win a championship, don't they, with Anthony Davis, for Nico Harrison to look good. And maybe, you know, it's got to fall flat on its face for Luka in L.A. for them to look good. Because if not, you just don't trade one of the three or four best offensive show talents at 25 years old because he doesn't condition himself the right way. It's your job to get him to become more of that kind of a player. You don't deal him. Not for that. So he potentially could be the general manager, Nico Harris, that will be known forever for making one of the worst trades in NBA history. There's a lot to this. Tim Legler will join me next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app. I do want to tell you real quickly that there's an opportunity for a great trip to Vegas. Are you ready to win big and live it up in Sin City? It's the Slam Dunk in Vegas on the Team 980. Listen for your chance to win a flyaway trip to Las Vegas with three friends and $20,000 in spending money for the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. You'll stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premier sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. That place is amazing. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the Team 980 for a chance to win the experience of a lifetime. Listen each day for an hour to earn your daily entry. This is a national contest. More details available at odyssey.com/slamdunk.